The opinions expressed are those of the show hosts and may not necessarily be of any company in which the show hosts may represent. Welcome to podcast number 379 of the Technology Blog and Podcast Series. I'm Jared Reimer. Devanand Premkumar, otherwise known as Diva on Breaches, runs a service called Exposed or Not. Exposed or Not.com. And now, ExposedOrNot.com. What is it? How did we find it? How did he get into this industry? He talked about what types of issues we found, and of course, what might be coming down the pipeline as this service is open source. He also said something very interesting. Well, have I been pwned and him as exposed have been around for a while. Both have their place, and one man can't solve all of the problems dealing with breaches. One's open source, one is subscription based, and hell, there could probably be room for more. The 35-minute interview is coming right up. Please send me email at tech, that's T-E-C-H, at menvi.org. You can also iMessage that address, or send text messages or WhatsApp messages to 804-442-6975. Enjoy the interview, everybody, and we'll be back on another podcast very soon. Podcasting today all the way across the world is Diva, who is based out of India. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jared. Thanks for the kind invite and pleasure being here.
So, I guess for those who aren't aware, we found you through Mastodon, and you do similar work that Troy Hunt does, dealing with breaches. Of course, my community is somewhat becoming more aware of what's going on. I serve a lot of the disabled community. And talk to us how you started this one. It's, by the way, very accessible, and I helped you fix a few things with it.
Oh, sure. Happy to talk to you. And, well, just to give a little bit background, I come from IT industry, been part of IT industry for the past 24 years. And way back in 2015-2016, I used to participate in forensic challenges, what we call as CTF. And that is how my interest for investigations and related topics came across, and I started spending more time on that, right? And at the same time, and of course, for the listeners and the general audience, 2016-2017 is also the years where we had the maximum number of data breaches, right? And of course, as part of that interest, I was looking at, okay, what do we do about it, right? There are so much of data points coming out. How do we help others in making sure that these data points reach the intended audience, right? And that is how this project was born and way back in 2017. And of course, when we started, it was just a simple service where you can just verify the passwords, whether your passwords have been exposed or not, right? And again, there comes the name history, right? Exposed or not, whether your passwords or your emails are exposed or not. Just that's objective of this project. And later, what we also started doing is that when the numbers started increasing, right? And for the past 7-8 years, I've been accumulating the data, which is of course available on the internet channels. And with all that data, I thought, okay, can we give this as a, let's say, service to the general audience so that they know what they are having data exposed and what kind of data is exposed from their emails and other services that they are used, right? So that is where we kind of like did a pilot. And now in the last year, it was also released as a public beta. And it is almost like 4 months since we have crossed the public beta. And now I'm happy to inform that this service is now widely used. People are using it. And of course, people like Jarek, who has given me feedback on areas that we can improve, and I've also incorporated that. The beautiful thing about this service is that it is 100% open source. So you can see how the data is getting stored, what kind of processing we are doing, and this entire infrastructure is also hosted on Google Cloud, and that's kind of like taking care of the security and related topics, right? I mean, of course, we can get into a little bit more into the technicalities, but just to start with, right now, this is the only service which is 100% having a non-commercial service, which is aimed at taking these data breaches to the general population.
Oh, that's correct, because while Have I Been Pwned is free and it offers the same capabilities, when I got the domain set up, they said if there's more than 10, then you got to subscribe. And while I did have some issues with your service because I didn't know where to put the file, the HTML file, because it said put it in the root, but there's the root and then there's the public HTML or www, so I put it in both, and you then were able to validate me that way. So there was a little bit of confusion there, but I did get the domains to work. And what was interesting about that was that you've spotted emails that I don't even have on one of my domains. I never had them, but yet Have I Been Pwned actually did find one address that I did at one point have, but I do remember that you started later, so that makes sense that they would find another address that I did have that you didn't find, but you found several that aren't even assigned to the domain at all.
Yes, Jared, you're right about that, right? And coming to the first topic that you highlighted, right, where to place a HTML file for validation. Of course, I think we can improve a little bit on that particular area. And after taking your feedback, I have created a larger blog post explaining how to do that. And in fact, in the same page, I've also given examples of how to do that as well. For example, if you are, let's say, verifying a domain, example.com, where the file should be placed and how the file should look like, I've also taken your feedback, and that is updated as we speak, and it is live as well. Thank you very much, Jared, for that feedback.
You are very welcome, because if I'm having trouble, then And I've been doing this for a long time than others might who don't really understand the structure of how everything works. So, have you decided to try and do phone number searches to see if they're involved in breaches? I know that Have I Been Pwned claims to do this, or is this not possible?
I mean, from a technical standpoint, I already have that content, and it is easy to do, right? It's just going to take a couple of hours, and we can easily spin that off quickly. But at this point, the demand for the phone numbers is very less, and hence I'm keeping it on low priority. Right now, I'm more focused on improving the data quality and the usability of this service, right? And for people who are coming to know me from the social channels, it is kind of like slowly picking it up, right? So initially it started with like 2-3 users per day, and then it moved into 20s and 30s, right? So I'm able to see the gradual growth, and I want to slowly take this to the masses where they're able to benefit as a whole, right? And if you look at the service, right, the objective is to give more data points. It's not just to inform them, no, you have an issue, right? And when you have an issue, what do I do about it, right? And how do I rectify it? And I've also written a little bit more on that. Similarly, when an individual is searching for a specific email address, right, it also highlights what kind of PII, personally identifiable information, is exposed, and what could be the potential issues, right? So those are all elements which are kind of like adding the benefits more to the end users. And with the open source model, everybody can get to have their say, and everybody is welcome to contribute as well, right? So if anybody on the listeners, they have an interesting idea or thought, you are very welcome to join in the contribution, and I'm happy to take in the PRs as well.
And your site, when I actually did, you know, want to learn more about one of the items, I was able to actually press enter on the link as a disabled user and get information. Have I Been Pwned actually does bring something up, but it doesn't even let us read it, and I have two different readers, one a commercial product and one a free product under the GPU non-commercial share alike. And so that's why this podcast series has recommended you over them for accessibility, because of the work you put into it.
So kind of you to say those words, Jared, right? And if I'm able to contribute to the larger society, even in the smallest possible way, I'm happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, one of the biggest things I've ever had. Now, I've not gotten any new notifications since I was able to subscribe my email address, which, again, I was having trouble trying to get the other one to even give me much of any data, whether it was accepting anything. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out. Of course, I haven't had a breach since, I think it said 19. So, and you have different metrics, right? You base it off of how many years a breach has been detected on that address, and you sort of space that out. So, in my case, you know, I wasn't involved in LinkedIn because I signed up for it much later. But I was involved in Dropbox, some spam lists, and a few others. But I think the last one that I'm aware of is a 2019 breach, so it's been about 5 or 6 years. It said I was 00203, so you give a score.
Yes. So the idea, Jared, here is that rather than giving a technical output, right, we should give to the audience what they can easily consume, right? So let's say you are typing in your email address, and I say your risk score is 2 out of 100. You pretty well know that you are having a very low risk, right? So that is one of the reasons I wanted to give a scientific calculator, right, which will take in the age of that particular breach. It will also look at what kind of data is being exposed. Are there any plain text passwords which are being exposed, and 3 and 4 parameters, right? So using those parameters, and of course, that calculator is also open source, and I do this calculation and I give a risk score. So that people know, okay, if they are crossing 40 or 50, they need to take some action, right? And for people who are less than 10, better keep a close watch, right? And now coming back to your email, right? When you say that you have not heard recently, that is actually good news. You should not be hearing from me, right? So as long as you don't hear from my alerts, things are fine, right? If you are getting alerts, that means your data is getting exposed, and we might have an impact on the data points which are getting exposed as well, right? So I think from that standpoint, my objective was not just to tell them that, hey, you have a problem, but rather give them a quantification of how big the problem is, what they have to do, and how they can do as well.
And that's awesome. I mean, I love hearing from you, but you really don't want to hear from the service. It, you know, they say if you don't hear from us, that's good news. That means everything's, you know, working, and you're doing everything you possibly can.
That is correct.
So that's right? Awesome.
The idea is to give more, right? For example, of course, Have I Been Pwned is there. There are multiple other sites which are also doing similar services, right? But
right. Have I Been Pwned is one, and you're another that I know of.
Oh, yes. There are enough services, right? And again, most of the services are commercial. They are focused on the corporate world, right? For example, they want to bring in more revenue. They want to sell this as a service, right? But in this particular case, even if you take Have I Been Pwned or any other service, right? So they have a commercial offering. But this service, what I have is a community edition, and I want to keep that community edition free for all, always, right? There is going to be no cap on that, and this is a kind of like an open declaration that I have placed it on my community site, and everybody can look at the history and they can use it as well, right? And adding to that, right, you're talking about it is helping, let's say, people like having disabilities to read this and navigate easily. I also enable this with few more languages. If you see the homepage, I have translated this into 10 languages, 10 topmost languages used in the world, so that everybody, not just people who are speaking English, can still use it, right? Whether you are a Japanese or a Chinese or Italian, Portuguese, right? So all these languages are also enabled, and they can use it in their native language, right? So that it can go to the masses. That is my objective here.
So to keep yourself in business, what do you do besides doing this?
Okay, so I'm in the field of information security. I provide consulting services, right? So I started way back in IT, predominantly into information security. and then matured into GRC. And now I currently handle topics which are primarily into the governance, risk and compliance. So anything which comes under that umbrella, I support that. And that's how the day looks like, right? And of course, this is a fun project. And I've been running this project since 2017. And I would still want to continue running it without any external support for that matter, right? It is completely handled by me. I'm the developer, I'm the maintainer, and I'm also kind of like the operations person who handles it. That's how it is, Jared.
Very good. So the website is XPOSED or not, and I sort of put it that way, and I put it exposed so that people understand what this is.
Well, I just took a hint from you, okay? So what I did, I went ahead and bought that exposed or not as well.
Ah.
So even if people type in, exposed as in EXPOSEDRNOT.com, it will still bring them to this site. So I'm taking
good
it,
because
thank you again for that.
Well, good, because and the only reason why I did that is because the Access Technology pronounces it exposed. So
yes, I got your hint, and it is already acted upon. You can verify it as well.
Well, so that's why I wrote it that way on my site, so that people understood where they were sort of headed, although I used the right URL on the page itself.
Oh, yes. I was having a quick look at the page. Yes, it is pointing towards the right one. Even if you are giving that one with an additional E, it will still take them to the right page. So we are covered.
Well, good. So people can go to either or.
Yes, please.
So, I see you do passwords. Talk to us about how you do the password checking.
All right. So, in fact, just to rewind a little bit, passwords checking was the first service which I released way back in 2017, right? And the idea at that point in time was that, of course, people have multiple accounts in multiple services. The frequency in which we reuse our passwords is pretty high. I mean, I'm guilty of that as well, right? But that being said, when you are coming from the security industry, you know certain precautions that you can take, right? So while I'm getting these data breaches and analyzing that, I thought it is also fairly easy for anybody to check that particular password, and they can also use it against you, right? So in our case, for example, every email is typically combined with a password when you log into a service, and that is how people try to do credential stuffing, right? And when I started analyzing this in 2017, I took like 500 breaches, and wherever there are plain text passwords, I extracted all the plain text passwords and converted that into a SHA-3, right? SHA-3 is an algorithm which converts into a non-reversible hash so that you can verify against that particular password. And that's step one. And again, what I'm also doing is, I'm not directly verifying the individual password. Rather, I convert that into the hash, and I only take the first 10 characters of the hash and verify it. So in other words, your password is hashed on the web page, and 25% of that hash is taken out, and it is checked against a database, okay? So if the database has a match of that, And if the count is more than one, it will say your password is exposed. It will not know what password you are checking, and the service also will not know what password you are stored. Simple reason, we are not storing the passwords in plain text, right? So there is an, I would call it a double anonymity, right? So on both sides, both parties will not know what is being verified. But at the same time, we will have a scientific way of verifying whether that particular password is exposed in breaches. So that is how the logic was built. And again, that entire code base is also open source. And again, of course, you know, people love open source software, and at the same time, it also gets the eyes and scrutiny, right? So it has gone through the test of time. And as we speak, we are in the 8th year, right? So 2017, it started off, right? And we are already in 2024, right? So it has been running for the past 8 years. That's the backstory of that passwords and how I verify it.
Yeah, that, so that you're similar to Have I Been Pwned, which also does the same thing. They don't store it because, as we've seen open databases with practically everything exposed. In recent times.
In fact, as we speak, in my database, there are roughly around 79 breaches which are having either plain text password or easy to reverse those passwords.
That seems to be the theme this year.
Oh, yes. And in fact, just to give you some numbers, in fact, the last 2 months, I'm seeing a pretty high spike. For example, if you take the month of March, we had like 6 breaches. And in April, we had like 7 breaches. It is like every 3 days, one, you have a breach, and it is not stopping. I mean, I do not want to say it has to continue, but it is pretty much full-time job to even keep a watch on these breaches.
Oh, I know. They list on their newest breaches things that I don't see on yours. So I, you know, on the security box itself, we use both of you to let people know what's potentially out there so that people are aware of what you guys are covering. Well, there's some overlap.
Just to help, And just to help the people, we have also created the list of breaches in 2 or 3 different ways in which they can consume the data, right? For example, you might be interested in knowing what kind of breaches or how many breaches have plain text passwords, right? I mean, as we speak, I don't think anybody in the world is giving this out as a free service where you can go and search on the breaches and get to know the intensity of the breach, right? And similarly, you can also have the ways in which you can do the monitoring aspects, right? So if there is a plain text, what are the steps that you have to take? If your risk level is low, what are the steps you can take, right? So I'm trying to give all of this based on user feedback. In fact, this is one of the user feedbacks that I saw multiple years back, which was in the backlog, and I wanted to make sure that people use this as well, right? So some are, I mean, if you take even this podcast, right? Some are comfortable with podcasts, but some are comfortable more with videos. Some are comfortable more with blogs, right? So you need to give the content to the audience's interest, not just because you're comfortable in blog, you will not speak as well, right? And Jared, I just want to thank you again for inviting me, because technically speaking, this is the first podcast I have ever participated. And that is the kind gesture of yours.
Well, I'm very happy that we can do that, and I know that you're clear across the world, so I know that it's going to be bedtime for you very, very soon, so I don't necessarily want to keep you long term. But to talk to us a little bit about the service, you know, what everybody's sort of doing, although you know, like I said, you're very accessible. I think I would recommend you over Troy, although Troy does good work too. And there's room for both of you. And I definitely hope that if there are major updates that you're doing, that you can either send me audio that I can play on either this podcast where it's going to be on, or the main Security Box program, and we can go ahead and do that. I'm not talking about your daily or weekly updates, like if you add something that might be of value, you know, that, you know, needs to be, you know, measured now, that isn't measured, you know, that type of thing.
Oh, yes, Derek, thank you for that, right? I think we should do that, right? Because, again, going by your own words, right? Of course, Troy has done a lot of good work in this particular topic, right? And almost for a decade, right? And certainly we need to appreciate that. And we all take inspiration from that, right? But at the same time, this is not a problem a single man can solve, right? So this is like giving a little bit more of light, right? So you add in a single more candle and it kind of like compounds the light effect, right? So both of us are fighting the same battle, but there is still more opportunity for others as well, right? I'm not saying we should be the only ones or we are the only ones who should do this as a service, right? And right now, I'm also looking at expanding this. When I say expanding, I'm looking at the two more, let's say, updates which I want to release to the general public. One is about how you can visualize this PII, right? Personally identifiable information. So let's say as an individual, you have like some 10 breaches. I'm just quoting for an example, right? And out of which your email, your date of birth, your names, location, telephone numbers, enough data points are released. Using all of this, can somebody construct a visual view of how much data is visible, right? I just wanted to bring it in the visual form so that people can realize the actual impact, right? Rather than saying that you are exposed in just a single email, but if I give them a visual picture or a content which says that this is the amount of data, using this, I can see where you are located, what is your interest, what is your telephone number, who are your friends in social media, right? So the extent of that particular breach's impact, I wanted to give it in the form of easy to consume. That's one of my recent initiatives I'm about to conclude. Similarly, I also want to look at threat intel providers, right? In fact, as we speak, I've also got a commercial request. Somebody contacted me and said, hey, we need your service, but we are not interested in the free service. Can you give this as a paid service? I said, gentlemen, this is free for all. Then they said, no, we want it in larger quantities. For example, they are looking at consuming it with 100,000 records per day search, right? They are kind of like taking this as a pulse fee and they are providing intelligence to their services, right? Oh, yes, we can certainly do that, right? I mean, practically speaking, I don't need to do anything. Just rip up one more API route and they are still good to go, right? So I think there is demand from the threat intel perspective, and if we can enrich that threat intel, the threat intel providers can also benefit from this, right? So these are the two initiatives, Jared, I'm working on now. Hopefully you should be hearing from me in the next couple of days or weeks on the completion of these two.
And How should people contact you so that if they want to give you their feedback and ask questions and get, you know, anything I missed during accessibility work with you, how should people contact you?
I mean, in the main site, my contact information is given under the FAQ page, my contact info. I'm reachable over Mastodon, Twitter, LinkedIn, and again, my email is also given there, right? So I'm pretty active over the day. When I say day, as in my day is typically 16 hours, right? And feel free to chime in your thoughts, any feedback, anything that you want me to implement. You are very welcome to provide your inputs as well. And quoting your feedback, Jared, right? I've completed all of the feedback that you have given, and I'm a happy person as we speak that I can say to your community and to your audience that you have contributed to my project, and I'm very happy to be part of this as well.
The only thing I haven't done is your API, but I'm not an API man, so...
Well, again, that API was created for people who want to consume it, right? So, if people are interested in podcasts, let them listen to the podcast. If they want blogs, let them look at the blogs. So, I've given them all the choices. They have their podcast, they have their blogs. In my view, they have the web view, they also have the API. So, as you feel comfortable, you're welcome to use it.
Perfect. Well, I know that it's... getting late, and we appreciate your time, and I look forward to hearing about more updates.
Thank you once again, Jared, for your kind time as well, and thank you for inviting me. And though I was initially hesitant whether I will be heard properly, whether I will be good in the podcast and so on and so forth, I think after speaking with you, my fear factor has gone out, and I think I'm open to new challenges. Thanks again to you.
Well, thanks again for everything. I think this is a valuable service,
Thank you, Jared.
We can't wait to hear more.
Thank you, Jared, and thank you again, and have a wonderful day for all the fellow folks who are on the call, and thank you again.
All right.